life to the fullest and be content. We all want to experience more than a mere mundane kind of living. If you're a Christian, isn't it your desire to leave an impact upon the world? Don't you want to touch the lives of the people that are in your life? It's natural to want to experience joy as we go down that route. The question is, how can we make a difference in others' lives and still do it with joy, rather than with only a sense of duty? Well, I think John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, that was just read to you a few moments ago, gives us important insights for the achieving of that particular goal. The information given in this text is what Jesus told his disciples just before his trial and his crucifixion were to occur. Here he gives them and us a beautiful picture of his role, the Father's role, the Holy Spirit's role, and our role for living out our lives in such a way that we can make an impact for God and the people around us, and how we can effectively do that very thing. A spiritually vibrant life is possible if we heed the instructions given by our Lord as found within these verses. He speaks in a very descriptive manner by using the grapevine as an illustration. Let's explore this vivid word picture and see what important lessons we can extract from it that will indeed enable us to experience our lives lived to the fullest. During our short span on earth here, why not experience a deep and abiding contentment that God wants us to have, and He makes it possible for us to achieve it. Before we explore John 15 in any depth, I think it would be good to give you a little bit of information about the grapevines. Searching for such information, I found this rather unique grapevine. It's found in Hampton Court in England. This grapevine is reported to be one of the oldest vines in the world. It is believed to be 2,500 years old. The grapevine has one main root, which is 12 feet in diameter. This is in feet, not inches. And it's in diameter, not length. Some of the branches in that vine apparently are 120 feet long. Despite its age, the vine still produces 500 to 700 bunches of grapes. The total weight of the grapes that it produces each year is almost 500 to upward to 700 pounds. Even with such long branches, the fruit apparently is still sweet and very delicious. Why? Because each branch is connected directly to the main stem and thus draws its nourishment from that stem. Now, with that as a background information, notice what Jesus says here in John chapter 15 and verse 1. He says, "I am the true vine." We can transfer the physical vine principles to a spiritual application and find out just what is the secret to experiencing a deep and consistent spiritual life. What does it look like? Well, one thing for sure, it means to give God full control of our lives. The words of John 15 given by Jesus Christ before He was pierced on the cross for us should actually pierce us with conviction unless we have given Him complete control of our lives. And if we have, His words indeed will be a source of comfort to each one of us. Why? Because here is the formula, it's explained for abundant living. But if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, consider this passage of Scripture and ask yourself this question: who else or what else offers you such hope and meaning in this life and in the life to come? Friends, nothing else does. John 15 is the second half of what is known as the Upper Room Discourse. Jesus' final words of instruction to his disciples, as you see, they leave their rented room and head to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will be betrayed by Judas Iscariot and taken by those soldiers. I think it's really important to realize that according to the last verse of the previous chapter, to John 15, Jesus says to his disciples, "Come now, let us leave." Back in chapter 14, he told them to begin to leave. That means that on his way to the greatest battle of all time, the cross, Jesus gives his disciples or his troops some final words of encouragement, some final words of instruction, some final words of challenge, and he does so by using the vine as the illustration. So let's see what important truth we can extract from these verses. Begin with John 15:5. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus states that he is the vine. We as believers are the branches. He goes on to say that if we remain in him and he remains in us, we will bear much fruit. He says that apart from him, we can do nothing. Let me illustrate this first by telling you the following truth. A certain missionary in Africa had a small generator that was used to supply current to his home. One day, some natives from an outlying area came to visit that missionary. They noticed the electric light hanging from the ceiling of his living room. They watched with wide eyes as he turned a little switch and the light came on. One of the visitors asked if he could have one of the light bulbs. The missionary, thinking that he wanted it as a sort of trinket, gave him one of his extra bulbs. However, on his next visit to the outlying mission station, the missionary stopped at the hut of the man who had asked for the light bulb. Imagine his surprise when he saw the bulb hanging from an ordinary string in the ceiling. The native, though, was very, very disappointed. But that bulb had failed to produce the same results as in the missionary's home. So the missionary went on to explain to the native that one needed to have electricity and a wire to bring the current to the bulb for it to produce light. Now, we may share an understanding smile at the innocence of this African native. But friends, at times, are we any better when it comes to applying spiritual truth? Jesus states that he is the vine and we are the branches. Here he shares with us the importance of our need to be continually connected to him, the true vine. Jesus is our source of spiritual life through which we can experience his power. But how often do we neglect to stay connected and then wonder why our spiritual lives are in a mess? You see, just as electricity provides the power necessary for a bulb to produce light, so the spiritual vine, Jesus, provides spiritual light that is so necessary for the branches, that is, the believers, to produce fruit. If for some reason we become disconnected from the vine, we'll become a dead branch. Notice the end result if that should happen. Jesus spells it out in John chapter 15, verse 6. He says, "If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers." Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and they are burned. We can only grow spiritually, friends, as we remain connected to Jesus, the true vine. How are we initially connected to Jesus? The first step is to be grafted in. That happens when you come to the place of recognizing that you're indeed not connected. No one is born connected to Jesus. Not even if you're born in a Christian home. So first you need to admit to God that you're a sinner, and then tell Him you're sorry for your sin, and then trust Christ to forgive you and save you from sin's punishment. That's how He becomes your personal Savior. It's how you are connected to Him, the vine. The conversion experience, friends, is wonderful, but it's only the starting point. How does one then live out the Christian life? Struggle your way through it? Some do. It's unnecessary. Because you see, something very special occurs at the point of conversion. In fact, it's absolutely amazing. Jesus provides someone who comes to live inside the new believer, enabling him or her to live the abundant life. He is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. He says this, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." You see, at the time of our conversion, the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell within our lives. What is the purpose of having the Holy Spirit living within us? Well, there's a number of reasons. I'll give you two. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction when we begin to wander from the spiritual path that the Lord has put on us. If we heed the convicting work of the Spirit, then the spiritual fruit will be a natural outcome. The important thing after conversion is to desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that second work of grace, so we can be fruit-bearing Christians. That's what brings true fulfillment. What is the fruit that God desires to see manifested in each one of our lives? It's found in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is, "But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against which there is no law." I want you to notice it doesn't say fruits, but fruit singular. One fruit with nine different important attributes attached to it. You see, that's the kind of fruit God wants to see produced in your life and in my life. But you can't. It's impossible to produce that fruit in your life. You need the help of the Holy Spirit, and you need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Maybe in that regard. You see, He is the fruit producer. As we yield to the Spirit's promptings, that fruit will become more evident to others as we journey down life's pathway. By the way, verbal witnessing is not part of the fruit. Sharing your faith is more about the evidence of that fruit than verbal witnessing. In fact, if fruit is not evident through the Spirit, and you endeavor to speak to others about the Lord, you'll be more apt to turn them off than turn them on. Instead, the presence of such things as love, gentleness, self-control is going to open up the way for sharing your faith verbally. Here's something to remember. Branches do not eat their own fruit. Others receive and eat the fruit. We are not producing fruit to please ourselves. It is produced to share with other people that we meet. The more we yield ourselves to the Spirit's leading in our lives, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control will become evident to those around us. If people see that fruit in our lives, they're going to be attracted to us and will begin to ask, how are you able to live that fruit? And then, what an opportunity to share your stories of what the Lord has done for you. Be careful to tell them it was not something you achieved on your own. On the other hand, if we struggle to be fully surrendered to the Spirit's leading, then God may need to take other steps to encourage us to move along the pathway He has designed for our lives. You see, that's where our Heavenly Father comes into the picture. Notice what Jesus says in John 15:1. He says that He is the true vine, but our Heavenly Father is the gardener. What is the Heavenly Gardener's role in the process? Our Heavenly Father prunes where pruning is needed. And Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 2, that every branch that bears fruit, the Father prunes, why? In order that it will bear more fruit. You see, vines left to themselves will sprawl in every direction and produce huge canopies of shoots, leaves, branches. And unless that canopy is controlled, the branches will not yield much fruit. Now, pruning at first glance may seem to be a counterintuitive activity to us. For what our Heavenly Father may see as needing pruning to us may seem unnecessary. Outwardly, it may appear like we are a healthy plant. But in our Heavenly Father's mind, not bearing as much fruit as we can, and thus we're not really as healthy as we think we are. What our Heavenly Father is interested in is that we are developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Another thing a gardener must do from time to time is trim the suckers from the plants. A sucker is a very small branch, usually grows on the main trunk of the vine, which, if left alone, sap the resources from the fruit-producing branches. So in order to stop that from happening, those suckers need to be removed. Friends, there are suckers in this world that seek to draw the spiritual life out of you and of me. We live very busy lives. We're running here, we're running there, we're running all over the place. And in so doing, many things can happen that can hinder us from fulfilling two major priorities that need to take place in our lives. One is daily quiet time with the Lord, prayer and Bible reading. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful. We need that time with the Lord. The other thing that is often failing is giving top priority to meeting together in corporate worship. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. A strong warning is given there. It says, let's not neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, especially now that the day of His return is drawing nigh. What day? The day when Jesus Christ will return for His bride, the church. Daily devotions, weekly church attendance are important in our spiritual development. They should not take second priority. This pruning our Heavenly Father does in our lives, friends, it's no punishment. It's done so that we might bear more. You see, sometimes pruning involves removing some particular sin, while at other times, it's about removing distractions that are hindering our spiritual growth. Sometimes God's pruning is painful. But the purpose is so that we will become more fruitful. What methods does God the Father use to achieve His goal? At times God allows other people to prune us. Sometimes He'll bring people into our lives, or allow people into our lives that may say nasty things, ugly things. How do we respond when that occurs? What is our response? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident at that moment? Or is it absent? You see, these are often people who themselves have not developed the fruit of the Spirit that we so desire to see taking place in our lives. God also uses problems to prune us. Sometimes it's the problems that we bring upon ourselves. Or it could be problems that come upon us outside of our control. God also uses pressures to prune us. This has to do with the ways in which we respond to the various problems of life. These all sound pretty negative, but remember, the purpose of God the Father's pruning is a positive one. God the Father has a purpose for everything He allows to come our way. Even heart-wrenching circumstances, like sickness, financial crisis, or even the loss of someone we dearly love. Pruning is necessary in order to produce more of the fruit of the Spirit. Pruning contributes to greater productivity in our lives and in the ministries God's given us to do. Notice the progression in John 15. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. As God the Father loves us, what should be our response to the pruning when it occurs? It should be gratitude over grumbling, recognizing that the Father prunes us out of love. Humility over haughtiness, being willing to submit to the Lord's timing. Compassion over comparison, using our pain to comfort other people. Application over apathy, pressing on to know God better in the midst of the discipline. Accountability over isolation, getting involved in the Christian community, which will greatly aid in the growing process. Hope over despondency. Trust in the unseen purpose of God. You see, He knows what's best in each one of our lives. These are not easy attributes to adopt. As Canadians, life has been very good to us, generally speaking, in our countries. And we tend to live with a sense of entitlement. We take for granted the things we have and can feel we deserve them. But friends, as I think of the persecuted church, I believe they have the right perspective. That's how they survive amid the unjust persecution that's been inflicted upon them. They have given up their rights and they have surrendered themselves to Jesus no matter what might happen. So let's remember that God's pruning, no matter who we are, allows us to bear more fruit. Take comfort in following the fact that your Heavenly Father is never nearer to you than when He is pruning you. Remember, a branch should have the same DNA as the trunk. If God's DNA is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, and it is, and it should follow that His children desire the same fruit to characterize their lives. It may seem like an awesome task, but friends, remember, here's the good news. We are not left to flounder on our own. The Trinity has a vested interest in helping us reach the goal of bearing much fruit. Jesus gets the process going by providing a way of experiencing forgiveness and cleansing of our sin. And then at conversion, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the believer to bring conviction where needed, and also to be the means of enabling the believer to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit as found in Galatians 5. God the Father, on the other hand, becomes the gardener in the believer's life. He takes on the task of pruning so that believers will bear more fruit. The end result? Believers will have a greater influence on seeing others brought into the kingdom. For us, the key in the whole process is simply being surrendering our whole life into the tender care of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's giving God full control. And friends, when we do that, who knows what the effect will be on those God brings across our pathways. But don't hold back. Bear much fruit, and you will bring glory to your Father in heaven by showing yourself to be followers of His Son. The closing hymn reminds us of how important it is to be truly surrendered. If you are, you will experience life to the full as you enjoy a deep, abiding contentment, knowing you're in the center of God's love.